Welcome back to Magic Towns Italy, our subscriber-only deep dive guide to Siracusa. Today, we're really digging into a question that came straight from you. You're asking, what's it actually like moving to Siracusa, Italy? You know, especially as an expat or maybe retiring there.
Right. So our job today is to pull out the really key stuff and give you the clearest possible picture of life on the ground in Siracusa.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating place to look at. It's this Mediterranean gem, right? Southeastern coast of Sicily, and just incredible natural beauty, you know, turquoise water, these kind of surprising papyrus springs, nature reserves like Vendicare close by.
It sounds like the landscape is really part of the city's identity, and it's split, isn't it, between the mainland and this historic island, Ortigia. What really jumps out is this feeling of like ancient history just sitting right next to everyday modern life. Makes it sound like every walk is a bit of a time travel experience.
Okay, let's start right there then with the history. Because to really get Siracusa today, you kind of have to understand its past. These roots go
deep. Oh, incredibly deep. We're talking founded by Greek colonists way back in the 8th century BCE. And it wasn't just some minor settlement. It apparently grew so fast, became so powerful, that it actually rivaled Athens. Just think about that. The scale of influence 2,500 years ago.
Rivaling Athens. That's wow. So when you're actually there, you're surrounded by layers and layers of history, some specific spots that really tell that story, don't they?
Absolutely. Like the Greek theater, it's still there, carved right into the hillside, a direct link back to that ancient power. And Ortigia Island, that comes up again and again as the beating heart, you know, the ancient winding streets. That's where you really feel it.
And the Piazza Duomo, too. The idea that the cathedral is literally built on top of an old temple to Athena. Just such a clear visual of how civilizations build on each other.
Exactly. And it's not just Greek history. The sources talk about Roman fortresses, Norman castles, even marks left by Spanish rulers. Those grand Baroque buildings you see, mostly rebuilt after a huge earthquake in 1693. So that's another layer. Plus the ancient quarries. You really get a sense the city itself is like a living museum.
It's more than just buildings, though, like a unique personality, living traditions.
Yeah, very much so. There's a fun detail about Archimedes, you know, the Archimedes born there. That whole Eureka story is apparently part of the local legend.
Ha! Huh. Imagine living somewhere famous for that. And there's a big local festival mentioned, St. Lucia.
That's right, December 13th. Really vibrant, full of local customs. Sounds like a big community thing connecting to their heritage.
And that wild papyrus thing you mentioned, that sounds pretty unusual.
It really does. Growing right by the Arethusa Spring, which is UNESCO listed, the sources stress how rare that is in Europe. It adds this sort of almost mythical, natural touch right in the city. These little details make it sound grand. It's kind of quirky, you know?
Okay, so that's the incredible historical backdrop. But let's shift to the now. What about living there today for someone like you, listener, thinking about making the move?
Right, the practical side. Modern Siracusa comes across as a really strong contender for expats, for retirees who are after sunshine culture, and this comes up a lot. A slower, more low-key pace of life.
What kind of size are we talking? Is it a huge city?
Not huge, no. Officially about 116,000 people in the city itself, maybe closer to 172,000 in the wider area. So it's a decent size, but not overwhelming. The vibe seems to be a mix of locals who've been there forever, and this growing community of expats and retirees.
And does that split between the mainland and Ortigia make a difference day to day?
It seems to create a different rhythm. Ortigia, the historic bit, is apparently buzzing in the summer. Tour season, right? Yeah. But gets much quieter in the off season. More peaceful. Residents kind of get that calmer pace.
Speaking of rhythm, daily life, food's usually central in Italy. What about markets in Siracusa?
Ooh, yeah, the Ortigia Old Market sounds like a big deal. described as a sensory feast, fresh produce, amazing seafood, spices, local cheeses, everything Sicilian.
And it's more than just buying groceries, isn't it?
Definitely. The sources paint it as a real social hub, a place with tradition where you connect with local life. There's also a Sunday farmer's market, mentioned for even more local stuff.
Okay, and if you're eating out, what are the costs like? Ballpark figures.
The sources give some specifics dated April 2025, which helps, like an inexpensive meal, maybe a trattoria around 12 euro, a mid-range dinner for two, a couple of courses. You're looking at about 52 euro.
That actually sounds pretty reasonable, especially compared to, say, Northern Italy or other parts of Europe.
Yeah, it's definitely flagged as a plus. Those little daily things like grabbing a coffee and a pastry, about 1 euro each. So you can see how that relaxed cafe culture is pretty affordable day to day.
Right. So we've got the history, the vibe, the daily costs. But what about quality of life? Settling in? What are expats actually saying?
The feedback seems largely positive on the quality of life front. People really praise the slower pace, the amazing weather, the beautiful setting. Moving there is often described as leisurely, even rejuvenating. Being able to bring pets easily, long stays, those are mentioned as pluses too.
But making friends, connecting, especially with locals, is that easy?
Okay, integrating takes effort. There aren't tons of formal expat clubs, but there's definitely a desire among newcomers to connect informally. Friendliness comes up a lot, and apparently open invitations happen quite a bit within the expat community itself.
Finding some community, at least initially, among other expats seems doable.
It sounds like it through those informal routes. But really getting into established local circles, that can be harder. And maybe no surprise, the language barrier is a big factor. Being motivated to learn Italian isn't just helpful, it's pretty key for deeper integration.
It's a really crucial point for anyone thinking seriously about this. Any other practical hurdles mentioned?
Yeah, beyond the social stuff in language, renovating property comes up, especially older buildings. It can get complicated, take time, and dealing with Italian bureaucracy, that's going to test your patience. Sometimes even finding other expats who you really click with can take a bit of time.
Okay, so definite challenges to be aware of, things that need patience, but the overall feeling is still positive.
Overwhelmingly, it seems so. The consensus is that for the right person, these hurdles are worth it, because of Syracuse's unique charm, the pace, the culture, the setting. That quote you mentioned nails it. Life here is about savoring the ebb and flow of the crowds of summer, the hush of the off-season, and the daily magic of Mediterranean living. It's about embracing that specific rhythm.
Savoring the ebb and flow that really captures the seasonal shifts in the lifestyle. It sounds like it rewards patience adapting.
Yeah, probably less for someone needing constant buzz and instant everything, more for someone who appreciates the quiet moments, the shifts through the year.
Let's circle back to costs, specifically housing. You said Syracuse is relatively affordable. Can I get more specific on renting and buying?
Sure. Affordability is definitely a recurring theme.
Give us the numbers, but maybe frame them a bit.
Right. So for renting in practice, well, for a two-bedroom place, which is pretty typical for expats or retirees, you're generally looking somewhere between 450 and 1,500 euro a month. Big range obviously depends on location, heart of Ortigia versus further out in condition. But still, that 450 starting point, that's pretty attractive.
Yeah, that lower end is definitely appealing in buying.
The sources break it down a bit more with quartiles, which is helpful. The bottom 25% of properties are priced below 912 euro per square meter. The middle point is 1,429. And the top 25% start above 2,250 euro per square meter.
What does that mean for a whole apartment price?
Well, based on those square meter costs, flats typically range from about 67,000 up to 420,000 euro. Again, huge variation based on size, location, condition, but it shows there are options across a pretty wide budget spectrum.
So renting or buying, it looks like Siracusa offers more accessible options than many other popular spots. What about other daily costs? We touched on food.
The sources added detail about heating costs averaging around 75 euro a month. Obviously, utilities vary, but it gives you a sense of one major bill.
And this affordability is key for retirees, remote workers, makes that fixed income or foreign income go further?
Absolutely, yeah. It's clearly presented as a major reason people choose Syracuse.
Okay, what about education? For families or just lifelong learners?
They note facilities are varied, supporting lifelong learning. They do list a few specific schools that might interest international families.
Such as?
There's the Bridge International School that follows a British and Cambridge curriculum for ages 5 right up to 18. Then there's Casa de Bambini Maria Montessori, that's bilingual, nursery and primary with Italian and English.
And one a bit further away.
Yes. Betsy's School in Catania nearby. Also bilingual, international, kindergarten and primary, apparently even trilingual with Spanish.
The sources also had some ranking data, didn't they, from the Ministry of Education?
They did. On average, schools in Siracusa ranked in the bottom 50% nationally. And for standardized tests specifically, in the bottom 30%.
Okay, that's a clear data point for families to weigh. But the sources also listed the number of schools, 27 primary, 26 kindergartens, plus secondary and higher education places.
So while the ranking suggests performance relative to the national average might be something to look into more closely, there's definitely a physical presence of different types of schools there.
All right, let's get into the real nuts and bolts infrastructure. Getting connected, health care, described as a mix, old charm, modern convenience, but maybe some limits.
That seems to be the pattern. Healthcare is obviously huge for many people, especially retirees. The sources say comprehensive services are available locally.
Okay, but I sense a however coming.
Yeah, there is. The material is pretty blunt, saying the quality might not always meet expectations, especially if you're comparing it to, say, Northern Europe or North America. One source even used the phrase wishing for a miracle, which, well, it tells you something about potential frustrations.
Wow, that's strong wording. Any specifics on where it might fall short or where it's okay?
Yes, some details were given. Things like hospital efficiency and readmission rates after heart attacks apparently lag national averages. But on the other hand, areas like urgent orthopedic cases and post-op recovery times were noted as proficient.
So a really mixed bag.
It seems so. Another detail. Breast cancer surgery apparently uses minimally invasive methods less often than the national average. And for severe heart attacks, emergency cardiac interventions are reportedly significantly slower than average.
These are really specific, important details depending on your health needs. What about just accessing care?
The overall healthcare score given is 43 out of 100, suggesting quite a bit of room for improvement. The main hospital, Umberto Primo, is about a 14-minute drive, and there are 15 hospitals and clinics listed within 10 kilometers. So the facilities exist, they're physically accessible, but the quality is the main caveat flagged in the sources.
Okay, let's shift to transport. Getting to Siracusa, getting around.
Easiest airport is Catania Fontana Rossa, about a 40-minute drive. Good connections, gets a connectivity score of 7 out of 10, sounds like. Other options exist. Reggio Calabria, about a 115-minute drive, score 6. Palermo's further, maybe 138 minutes, but has a higher score, 9. So maybe better flight choices.
And by train.
Main station is Stazione di Siracusi, also about a 14-minute drive. Also scores a 7 for connectivity, connects to major cities, multiple daily trains to Catania and Messina, and daily or overnight services to Rome and further north.
Any other local stations?
Yeah, a couple mentions. Very limited service. No high-speed trains serve any of these stations.
Got it. So rail is an option, just maybe not super fast for long distances. Within the city, public transport
described as adequate, especially peak times. But again, that theme can be limited off-peak, so you might need to adjust expectations outside of busy hours.
Is it a car-dependent place or can you walk?
The sources are really positive on walkability. Call it a walker's paradise, especially Ortigia and the historic bits. Walking is best. They even mention scenic coastal paths.
It sounds like you could do a lot on foot, especially in certain areas, a ton of amenities nearby too.
It paints a picture of good local access. Within 10 kilometers, they counted things like 24 auto repair shops, 42 bars, 11 cinemas, 2 dentists, 3 gyms, 7 health clinics, separate from the hospital count, 60 hiking trails, 163 historical sites, 14 libraries, 29 museums, 52 parks, 16 pharmacies, 30 restaurants, again, maybe formal ones, 40 shopping centers, 20 supermarkets.
Wow. Okay, that list suggests that even if public transport isn't perfect, a lot of daily life stuff is close by. What about digital life? Internet for remote work?
Speeds are generally okay for remote work, but consistency can be an issue. Depends where you are. They gave average download speeds 216 megabits average, but down to 160 slow.
Decent speeds, but you know, maybe expect the occasional hiccup if you need a rock solid stability. How about general utilities, roads?
They score okay overall. General infrastructure gets 77 out of 100. Economy infrastructure, 68 out of 100. Acknowledge room for improvement. Yeah, especially things like air quality and managing that summer heat, which we should touch on.
Let's quickly mention the economy and jobs, though. Like we said, maybe less key for this audience.
Right. Income per capita is 20,700, ranking it 3,698 out of almost 8,000 places in Italy.
And finding work locally?
Unemployment's higher than the national average. Job opportunities are limited, especially if you don't speak Italian well. The sources use the phrase a bit like a treasure hunt for finding economic opportunities. Really reinforces that for most expats moving there, you'd need your own income source. Retirement funds, remote job, online business. Relying on finding local work seems tough.
Good to be clear on that. Okay. Climate and environment presented earlier as a big positive.
Yeah. Consistently described as mostly sunny, great for expats and retirees chasing warmth, mild winters, warm summers, moderate temperatures overall, not a huge amount of rain.
Any specific numbers?
For sure. Very low precipitation and snowfall, bottom 10% in Italy, but exceptional sunshine, top 10%. Coldest month, January, average low around 8 degrees Celsius. Hottest, August, average high around 31 degrees Celsius. Lots of nice weather in between.
Genuinely sounds like a sunny place. What about air quality, other environmental stuff?
Air quality ratings 80, which is pretty good.
But some fair ratings too.
Yeah, the finer particles, PM 2.5 and ozone O3 are fair, still within EU standards, but sources say these could be better. Still considered okay, even for sensitive people, though.
Any other environmental risks or safety things mentioned?
Yeah, important ones. It's in a high earthquake risk zone. There's also a noted landslide risk affecting about 1% of the population and flood risk affecting about 14%. So those are regional environmental factors to be aware of.
Definitely crucial safety points. To kind of wrap things up before the final thoughts, the sources often give a quick pros and cons summary. Can we run through those?
Let's do it. The pros are the rich culture and history, obviously, beautiful scenery and beaches, a welcoming community feel, good transport connections and general infrastructure, affordable living costs, that mild sunny climate, opportunities to integrate if you put in the effort, healthcare availability, even with the quality caveats, decent public transport, especially peak times, scenic views everywhere, vibrant markets, an active expat scene, varied education options, and generally good internet.
That's a solid list of positives. Now for the cons, the potential downsides mentioned.
Okay, cons. Healthcare quality might not meet everyone's expectations. Internet speeds can be inconsistent. Public transport is limited off-peak. Higher unemployment, few local jobs. Again, context matters. Infrastructure and air quality could still be improved. dealing with local bureaucracy can be frustrating. Summer heat can be really intense. Stifling was the word used, and maybe limited availability of some specific international goods or services you might be used to.
Those lists really do paint the picture clearly. Huge appeal in the lifestyle and beauty, balanced with some real world hurdles.
It feels like a realistic take drawn straight from the data and experiences.
So bringing it all together from your sources, who is Syracuse really for? What does that day-to-day real experience feel like beyond the bullet points?
Well, pulling from those expat descriptions, the real experience sounds like it's all about embracing that slower rhythm. It's, you know, waking up to sea breezes, watching the sunset over ancient buildings, having long, unhurried mornings.
Simple daily pleasures we talked about.
Exactly. Going to the market regularly, wandering through sunlit ruins in the afternoon, or just sitting at a cafe for hours, watching life go by. That seems to be the core enjoyment.
And making connections takes work, but sounds like it pays off for people who try. If you make the effort, learn the language, engage with the culture, building connections is really rewarding. So there aren't loads of big formal expat clubs. The friendships you make, often through just informal meetups, feel more genuine, more valued.
And that ebb and flow idea keeps coming back for the lifestyle too.
It really does. The year has phases, the busy, vibrant summer versus the quieter, more reflective off-season. Thriving there seems to mean appreciating both of those speeds.
So the right kind of person for Syracuse is someone who resonates with that?
Someone drawn to the slow pace, the sun, the history, the culture, the community. And importantly, someone willing to put in the effort to integrate, especially with the language. And someone who genuinely finds joy in those simple Mediterranean pleasures, rather than needing constant action or peak efficiency.
Well, this has been a really thorough look into Syracuse. We've gone from ancient history to modern practicalities, costs, healthcare, community, and tried to sketch out who really thrives there.
Yeah, we see it's a place of incredible beauty and history, offering a potentially very affordable and relaxed lifestyle. But you know, it also comes with its own specific set of challenges you need to be ready for.
And for you listening, as you consider your own potential move, hopefully this gives you a balanced view. It's got huge appeal, but also definite points that require patience or adaptation, which leads us perfectly to that final thought for you to reflect on. We explored, considering the unique rhythm of life in Syracuse, that ebb and flow between its ancient pulse and its modern pace, with all the pros and cons we've talked about, is this the rhythm you're searching for in your next chapter?